Drivers, I think it's time to take a trip to Mercertown. My friends from Mercer Transportation have been so generous with their time over the years and talking just about anything. We can sit down. This is what I love about it. And it's not just because I'm a nice guy. It's also because they really care about the industry. They got their fingers on the pulse of the industry, and they treat everybody the same way. They've got this open-door policy, and they've had great conversations with us over the years, and we're going to have another one right now. Let's bring on Brian Helton, Tyler Johnston, and Anthony Starks from Mercer Transportation. Gentlemen, welcome.
All right.
Thanks.
That was
a big intro.
Yeah. What an introduction.
Well, you know, it's true. It is true. We have had these great conversations over the years, and I love it because I had somebody almost 30 years ago, a guy I looked up to who was at the time a bigwig in radio, and he said, you know, the one key to being on the radio is you got to talk like real people talk. And I've carried that with me, and I think it's important, you know, when, especially after that, I went to this job, and you've got to, when you're talking to drivers, you know, you got to look them in the eye. You've got to have a real conversation with them. Mercer's been able to do that successfully with their drivers and drivers that aren't with Mercer. And I've seen it. I witnessed it. And it's just, I think, the only way to do it, right? Let's just all have a conversation about things that are going on. Where are we now as an industry? What can we do moving forward? And all of that. So you guys have been really good about that.
Yeah, I think the key is just being genuine.
Yeah.
Right. You know, we're not real salesy over here when we're talking about Mercer.
Yeah.
We like to talk to guys about our culture, but it's not for everybody, and we know that.
Right.
So
right.
We try to steer away from, you know, salesy or pushy or any of that. Heck, we barely act like we work for a business. We're just kind of regular guys.
Right.
I think it pays. Tyler likes to interrupt me. Go ahead.
Sorry. No, I'm just happy that we brought that up first, so we don't have to pull out a lot of big words and sound like we're smart on here. So thank you for getting that.
If any company that would let a guy with an Eastern Kentucky accent go on the radio and represent, got to be pretty good folks.
I love it. So, I love it. You
know, they got to be good.
But. Yeah. Yeah. You know, there's so much that it seems like, my gosh, everything moves so quickly these days. It seems like there's a lot that's happened since the Mid-America show. But certainly when we go back to our conversation that we had with you guys at the end of last year, we did a cool podcast kind of wrapping up the year. And hopefully we can do that again this year. I'd love to do that because – you know, I think it's good to kind of, all right, look back and say, all right, what were those challenges for the industry and for drivers? And what, you know, what are we looking forward to or what are we looking at down the road? And so much has changed. There's so much that's always going on. It's just so busy. So let's just start with where I guess we are right now. There have been so many market changes and you know, the spot rates and fuel costs and everything else. Brian, lay it out from a Mercer perspective. What are you guys seeing? What are you hearing from drivers? And what is your perspective on where the industry is right now on rates, on fuel, and what drivers are facing today?
So thank you for the great question. I'd like to give that to a guy that's smarter than me. this is why I brought Tyler along. Actually, Tyler's our operations manager. He hasn't done a lot of stuff with us, but we love having him on, and he's kind of our expert in the freight and that side of things.
I haven't done a lot of stuff with us. You mean just on the radio, right? I hope you think that I do a lot of stuff.
He really, really does look busy.
That's a good question. You know, since the Mid-America Truck Show, what day? That was middle of March, right?
So it was end of March.
So right around that time, we were still riding pretty fat on the hog there. Things were good. Rates were high. and we saw a real decline in the spot market rates there at the beginning of April.
Yeah.
Which, you know, that's when inflation was being talked about a lot more. And you saw consumer spending and retail spending start to drop, and the fuel prices went up. It was almost the perfect storm that we've experienced in trucking before. That's not something we haven't been through or weathered before, but it did come quickly. It happened fast, and the fuel added on to it. And just operating costs in general went up. You saw people that weren't able to get repairs done. You know, things, raw materials weren't being delivered. There was a lot of hardships to run a business or run a trucking company. And it's been difficult. There has been a downturn. We aren't ignorant to the fact that there's been a downturn in the economy, and we are still trudging through and trying to make sure that the relationships that we've built and that we've stood on are strong and the foundation is strong, and try to help drivers the best we can navigate those waters. What's important to us, and making sure that the transparency of information is out there, and making sure that we communicate effectively and that we're all on the same team. We're all trying to get work done efficiently and try to help drivers out there.
So help me put this together, Tyler, because I, over the summer, I went to a couple of truck shows and talking with some driver friends of mine, and they're trying to wrap their head around, you know, situation. These are drivers that have been around, been out there for years. And one was, when I came up on him, he had just been trying to book a load. And so he was, you know, we talked about it, you know, with the rates dropping and fuel rising. He said, you know, I just don't remember it ever being like this. Help us understand that, or I guess from your perspective, what is it that is driving that, with the rates dropping, the spot rates dropping? We know with fuel what's going on, with diesel fuel what's going on. But, I mean, have we as an industry, have we ever been in this place before where rates just, you know, plummet like that and fuel prices really spike?
Yeah, like I said earlier, it's been a sort of perfect storm of sorts. And I think it's really spotlighted it. Have we been here before? Yes. Has it been as spotlit as it is now? Probably not. And what's really driving it, you got to think about the, just like I said earlier, the retail spending, consumer spending, industrial spending. Once that slows, once people, you know, I'm just thinking about, I was going to build a deck last year, but with the cost of lumber and things like that, I decided not to. And I'm just one guy. How many people out there are deciding not to build decks now? That going on? And there was this big backlog or influx in transportation needs from the pandemic. There was a rubber band effect. I like to talk about how you pull a rubber band back and release it. It shoots forward. Well, you know, there was, people weren't driving, people weren't working. There was manufacturing things that got held up. And then when all of that released, we needed all the drivers we could. So the rates were astronomically high because of the driver shortage and the demand for trucks and demand for good transportation. And rates were so high for so long. Well, once that slowed, there was a huge reverb effect of rates falling off the cliff of sorts. But the main thing, too, that has been really kind of hammering that home is the fact that information is so available now, market information. So these market shifts, just the information that we have as trucking companies, the information that drivers have out there at their disposal as owner-operators or company drivers, and the information that shippers have and manufacturers have, that they can see what's going on in the market. So if there is an opportunity to push back, I don't want to say push back and sound too harsh on it, but from a shipper's perspective, if there's opportunity to push back and you see the market downturn where your budget for transportation has been blown out of the water for 3 years, you're going to push back a little bit. Mm. And that's where I refer to the relationships between the trucking companies and the drivers and the shippers need to remain strong, and we can get through this cyclical downturn that will eventually level back out. But it's hard just because of so many different things that happen in one time.
You know, there was this, what they're calling this great resignation, and after the pandemic, and maybe, you know, to a certain extent, even during the pandemic, you had people reevaluating what they do for a living. And this affected, I think, a number of industries. The service industry certainly got hit hard in that respect. The tech industry became like this huge revolving door, and to some extent, that's still kind of going on because they're in demand. And then trucking is not immune to that. So expand on that for us. What do you think is that effect of people basically reevaluating, saying, you know, I think I could do better if I did this for a living, or, you know, and trucking has seen that before, you know, long before the pandemic, of people getting out of the trucking industry and then all of a sudden later coming back to the trucking industry. Put that in perspective for us, what that scenario is right now.
Well, you know, we know so well that trucking and driving for a living is such a hard job. These guys work harder than almost anyone in America in what they do. And as such, we're starting to see a loss of generational truck drivers. We're starting to see guys that are young people aren't educated at what a great industry and a great career this could be. So we're starting to see people that are aging out of trucking, their children and their grandchildren and so forth, aren't getting into the industry, which is only driving home this driver shortage that, mm-hmm. that we're experiencing right now.
Yeah.
So really our job and our main focus out there is to promote and educate what a fantastic and rewarding career driving could be, and trying to be the company that supports that and really helps that industry.
Sure.
Yeah, and we saw similar things back in 2008, 2009 with people dropping out of the industry, but then coming back in.
Yeah.
Kind of started to level out. And,
right.
We've encountered that too. We've even seen guys, you know, that have that left during the pandemic, or even as soon as last year. But we're starting to see coming back to Mercer. Some of our old guys coming back that took a step away for a little while. So
yeah,
nice to see some of the guys getting back in here.
In demand career.
Yeah, that's true.
Sure. And I remember that Brian, in 2009. Getting to the Mid-America show on the Wednesday, so the day before the show opened, and we didn't know it at the time, but March of 2009, when the Mid-America show was happening, was when the market was bottoming out in that recession.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, we didn't know it at that time, but it was, and walking the floor and hearing, you know, how things were changing almost on the fly, minute by minute, it seemed. And a lot of people didn't make it to that show. A lot of vendors didn't make it to that show. And you know, and we have seen that. And a lot of drivers moved out of the industry, and there was that shift and then readjustment and then, you know, the coming back. So here we are with so many other headwinds, with the Fed raising interest rates. And you know, if you're my age, you remember interest rates back when, I mean, they were 7-8% or higher. My parents in the late 70s and early 80s were paying astronomical double digit rates on a mortgage. And now
I remember 11%.
Yeah. My parents, we were in Del Rio, Texas. My dad was still in the Air Force, but about to retire. And they were buying a house off base, and where they were waiting to close, and it jumped to 14%. And I remember that, and I was young, and I remember that happening. And it's just, you know, you think about that. But now we're adjusting these rates again, And so it's kind of, you know, tapping the brakes on the mortgage market, the housing market. Still, there's, you know, it's not like it's a huge dive, but it is slowing down a bit. You guys run, Mercer runs a lot of flatbed and stuff. Has that part of it, and because we rely on flatbedders to move so many materials, but a lot of that goes to build houses and buildings and everything else. Have we seen that adjustment yet in terms of the rates, mortgage rates and stuff going up a little bit? Has there been that adjustment on that type of freight from your perspective or anywhere else in the industry that you've observed?
Not yet. Not that we've seen tremendously. I think the inventory of new homes that are not being bought has gone up. So I think the investors and the builders themselves are seeing the adjustment because of everything that has happened and the Fed's raising the rate. But generally speaking, when especially in 2008, like you were referencing, when the housing bubble caused the recession or was the first indicator of something wrong, that was the industry that first got hit the hardest.
Yeah, the
raw materials for the home building and so on. But you're right, that is what we haul. We do haul a lot of that on our open deck side of things. But it's still strong. It's
okay.
Still very strong.
Good.
We have a lot of contracts.
And
we have diverse freight otherwise. And all of it seems to be still strong. And that's what you generally see when you're not surfing the spot market and things like that,
sure.
When you rely on relationships and customers like that.
Okay, but that you just hit on something. Do you think that as an industry, I won't ask you to grade the industry in that respect, but you just hit on something. I mean, it. And I come from an era where you build relationships. You make phone calls. You stay in touch with people so that you can understand each other's mission statement and goals and work together to achieve goals on both sides. And that's how you do that. As an industry, are we still good at doing that?
We are still good. We're trying to continue to be good at doing that. Unfortunately, when technology gets introduced, it does a couple things, and it does a couple things really well. It either improves process or it improves decision making. But what it also does is make things transactional in nature. When you make something transactional in nature, you lose the relationship. And that's something that the trucking industry has avoided very, very well. We have always relied on relationships. We're like the last frontier in that aspect. And as a company, that's what we're built upon. Mercer, speaking just for Mercer, we thrive on those relationships and building those relationships. So as an industry in general, I don't want to say I fear, but I'm going to say I fear that the more we rely on technology to improve our process and decision making, the more transactional we make it. And that's when we get in danger of not seeing each other's mission statements like you described.
Yeah.
So that's what we're trying to navigate right now and trying to really rely on those relationships to understand what each other does.
Sure, sure. Anthony, I want to bring you in from the brokerage side of things. Over the last several months, with the way that rates have fluctuated and things going on, what does it look like from your perspective on the brokerage side of things?
Well, from our standpoint right now, from the broker side and from our truck side, we're continuing to say pretty much sustain what we're doing. And the reason why, I mean, I want to piggyback as far as what Tyler and Brian said, with the current market and with the driver shortage, it's important to sustain the fleet that we have. And we've been able to do that over the years, especially through the pandemic, largely in part because we can save these guys so much money. Even just when we're talking about the rates, we can save them a ton of money just based off of insurance, as far as covering their cargo and liability, taking care of from that perspective, and then the fuel savings that they get at the pump. And those are for our carriers along with our guys who are leased with us. So we try to put that to the forefront and the focal point of what we want to do. You touched on it earlier as far as with the relationship that we have. with our carriers and with our fleet altogether. We treat them the same when it comes down to as far as the loads that we give them, the communication that we have with them. So we've been able to pretty much kind of endure everything that's going on and through that grow as well. So it's a big point for us. The relationship that we have with our drivers is probably one of the most important things that we have here.
I think that's one of the most impressive things that we have as far as, you know, everybody hopes to have good relationships with their owner operators, but our brokerage division does such a good job of treating our outside carriers that help us move freight just the same. It really is a, you know, it comes back to just being regular people.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, you know, that's it. And treating the drivers with respect and the respect that they deserve, because and honestly, in my nearly 30 years of doing this show, that's the one common thread in the correspondence I have with drivers. You know, that's really what they want. You know, they want to just be upfront, be honest, and be down to earth and have those conversations with them and give them that respect. And when they feel that, when they sense that, then they're in a good place and everybody involved is in a good place.
Yeah, I totally agree. It's all about being honest. And I shouldn't say honest. I don't mean to imply that other companies are dishonest. Genuine, I think, is a better word. And I think that's what you get with us, is we don't pretend to be who we're not.
Right.
And, you know, we're just going to give it to you straight. And, you know,
we think it's our turnover percentage is probably one of the lowest in the industry at this point. And so we take great pride in that.
Yeah.
And then don't get me wrong, we have guys that occasionally do want to test the waters, but we've been seeing over the past few months, we've had a record number of guys who have came back to us. So we're very impressed with the fact that what we're doing seems to be working at this point in time, because we're getting a lot of guys who tested the waters for whatever reason. They decided to go out there and see what was out there. They realized that the grass wasn't green on the other side, and welcomed them back with open arms. And we're continuing to see the floodgates open with these guys. We call reinstatements. We want them to come back, and we welcome them with open arms. So,
and Eric, I like what you pointed out earlier about knowing each other's mission statements. You know, and that's what that genuineness and transparency does, is we're able to identify each other's mission statements, and we know how to get there and try to get there the best way we can.
You know, I think that's the understanding. And once that is in place, that is the foundation. And it and they understand that, you know, that their goals, because I think, you know, that's the other common response that I would get over the years. And maybe not so much these days, but you would hear from drivers, well, I don't think they understand. I don't think they understand. I don't think they understand. And that's, you know, that's a big deal. When there is that common ground and that common path forward for both, then everything else is doable. Nothing else, you know, very few things are going to get in the way of that job getting done.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And so, you know, we look at it now with, What's really interesting about the industry, and I think it applies to other industries. Wall Street Journal did a breakdown of where we are with the economy. Okay, there is a slowdown. You're seeing inflation hit, and whatever you want to call it, recession, stagflation, any, you know, all these items. But the reality is there, you know, the economy right now isn't running at its best, and so there is this, but there. The difference is right now we still have millions of unfilled jobs out there. So you've got this decline in the economy, but still this, you know, this uptick in the number of jobs that are available. And Anthony, you hit on something there, and that is, and I think it's, and I'm glad you shared it with us, because I was curious about the effect in the trucking industry, and that is people leaving their jobs, the great resignation, whatever you want to call it, and thinking, you know, the grass is going to be greener. And then all of a sudden, no, because I think what there is too is the fact that, and I've had this conversation with people, and I said, you know, if you want right now, if you want to get out there and work, you can work. And there are a few exceptions to this, but you, if you want to work, you can work. And I think what a lot of people that took part in the Great Resignation, nothing applies to all, but I think a lot of people looked at it and are seeing now that it's going to be very competitive going forward. So if you want to get back to work and you understand that the grass is not greener and my skills do have a value, my experience has a value, and I need to get back to what I was doing, then I think there's great opportunity there. Because right now, that's, I think that's where the industry is. Tyler, do you think, I mean, let's look forward now as we go on beyond the fall of 22, but as we finish out this year and going, you know, forward, what do you think it looks like for trucking? I mean, do we believe it's, you know, things are going to come back? We're seeing fuel prices come down, but I mean, in terms of rates and everything else and capacity, do you see changes? Is it inevitable that there will be that bounce back?
Yeah, I think things will level back out. The capacity issue, there's a driver shortage, and that we need to identify as a separate issue altogether. We are still experiencing a driver shortage. We will continue to experience a driver shortage. It's how manufacturing responds to the economy and the slowdown that we're in flux about. And you saw the Great Resignation. You also saw people that were ambitiously venturing out on their own. You saw truck drivers that wanted to get their own authority or start a business. And unfortunately, with the inflation the way that it is and the cost of things, you also saw a lot of people overextend themselves financially and in a business sense. And you're seeing them get hit very, very hard. The operating cost of a business has, I don't want to put any figures and things that I don't know, but you can say that it's almost doubled. And you see that in a very short time, which is very taxing. And what I more see happening, and it happened in 2008, and what we're looking to communicate and get out there is that we can help drivers and help companies and getting with and partnering with a fleet like Mercer and working with us, we can help kind of hedge that overextension on operating costs and things like that. With Anthony mentioned insurance and fuel discounts and things like that, that's where we want to continue to educate everyone out there that people still want to help, and that people want to work, we are welcoming them in to work.
Have we seen a change in the supply chain issues? Is that something that's going to take years to iron out, or do you think that the supply chain, another piece that the Wall Street Journal did recently was breaking down the supply chain of, let's say, ordering a phone charger online from overseas, and then it's on a massive container ship, and then it's on a truck, and then it's on, you know, a last mile van to your door and all those things. And they broke it down and they painted a picture. This goes back a couple of months, but they painted a picture of a fragile supply chain that might've been fragile before our recent issues.
Absolutely. And yeah, that's a fantastic point to make, because there's a customer that we work with, and this is just to further hammer in that point that you made, customer that we work with that sourced tires for small vehicles from, I think it was Taiwan or China. And you saw this, this is something that we never knew about. We never knew where they got their tires from. But it turns out that when our former president put a ban on travel from overseas for civilians, we learned that they put their tires that they were made in Taiwan, or I think it was China, one of the two, on civilian aircraft over to the States.
Yeah.
Then outfitted on these commercial vehicles, these smaller vehicles.
Yeah.
Well, now that company's budget for transportation or production they had to charter 747 jets just to get tires over to the United States. They could no longer put them on because we stopped travel.
Wow.
That's just a little taste of what the supply chain, how fragile it is. And not fragile might be the wrong term, but just things that we don't think about.
Yeah, right.
Things that business gets done in areas that we're not even thinking about. And what got hit or how long that has to take to transform and recover is going to be interesting to see what it looks like next.
So let's spell out opportunity, because as you guys know, when you're talking to a driver, you know, the idea is to sit down and, all right, where are you at? And this is what we offer. Spell out that opportunity for us there at Mercer, because, you know, we all look back. I just mentioned March of 2009 when the stock market hit bottom, and Monday morning quarterback investor in me says, man, I wish I would have taken a gazillion dollars in March of 2009 and put it in all those stocks that were bottoming out at that time. And of course, that hindsight is always 20/20. But I look at, you know, then I ask myself, okay, where are we on that upward curve, or are we there yet? So as you talk with drivers, we talked about, you know, helping to save them on fuel, insurance, and things like that. What else are you sharing with drivers, and how are you spelling out that opportunity for them?
That's a great question. I would say, first off, the company that we work for with Mercer, the name says a lot from the beginning, because you're looking at 45 years in the industry. We're 100% owner-operators, and our fleet continues to grow. So with that, drivers notice that, and so they're automatically reaching out to us. We have more drivers reach out to us than we probably do vice versa as far as reaching out to them. And a lot of that is because, obviously, the name, but it's also because of the drivers who are currently with us, the owner-operators who are leased with us now. They see them on the road, and they talk to them at truck shows and truck stops. And those are probably our best salespeople. And so when we talk to these drivers and they're interested in Mercer, they've already done a lot of their research. They've talked to these drivers. They went onto our website. So a lot of the things that they're calling us about is just to make sure that everything adds up, so to speak.
Yeah.
And what we do from our perspective, from the recruiting side of it, from the brokerage side of it, we want to be as honest and transparent as possible. We want to let these guys know what we're about. We're not going to play any games, okay? It takes a lot of money to get a driver to lease on with us, a lot of marketing, and Brian can break that down for you, obviously. And so when I say that, to say that when we get a guy who's interested in coming to Mercer, and if he's a quality owner-operator, we want him here. And we're going to be 100% honest on why we want him here and why we want to keep him here. So I can sit here and break down to you as far as how much that we pay or this and that. I will tell you this much. We understand that right now there's a truck shortage, obviously. We understand what the market is like right now. So our goal is to make sure that we're making these guys money and also saving money for them as well. And so that's why I come back and say that there are things that Mercer's doing behind the doors as far as with the insurance and the fuel card and the fact that they do have their own personal coordinator. They have a team of over 300 people that are located in our hub office that are here to help them out. Everyone here at Mercer realizes that these drivers, we don't have a job without these owner-operators and without these carriers. So so if I'm sitting down and I'm talking to a driver, I'm not going to go into everything, but I'm going to let him know, if you come here, you made the best choice. So
Yeah. Well, you know, again, as you mentioned, Anthony, that it the name Mercer says so much. If you've been around for any time at all, then you know that name. And so that's it. Brian, you and I have talked about how the folks, the drivers with Mercer are, as Anthony points out, quite often the best salespeople. And I've said that for a long, long time. Look, I'm a guy who talks. If you want to talk to the people who are doing it, those are the ones who can tell you. And the ones who are doing it successfully, and, you know, it's not that we expect them to paint this 100% rosy picture. It's actually straight to the point. But the ones who are doing something successfully, those are the models you want to pay attention to. ones, you know, the ones who have failed at something, they can tell you how to fail all day. But the ones who have been there and have been successful, those are the ones you want to listen to.
Yeah. And, you know, fortunately, we've been around long enough to endure some of our own failures. We don't get it right all the time. And, you know, trucking's trucking. It's hard. We know it's hard. And things don't always work out perfect for every driver, for every load of freight. But what we do is if we mess up, we say we mess up and we make it right. If a driver comes in and wants to talk to us about problems that he's having, we've got somebody here that wants to listen to what problems he's having and make it right. It's just a matter of giving that support. I think that anybody who's spent any time in this industry knows it's not perfect and things are going to happen, and we're no different than that. But it's how you react to those problems that makes the difference. And we're not the only ones doing it. There's some good owner-operator companies out there that treat guys just the same way. I'd never suppose that we're the only ones doing it. We just do it better.
You know, there's a there's a common misconception out there that leasing on with a large fleet, especially like Mercer, I can only speak for Mercer in this, means you have to do what that company does. And they are now running your business, and they are now dictating your success. And it's important, and we hear it from a lot of drivers that come on board, that they didn't know, I didn't know I could still run my business. I didn't know I could still define my success and the success of my business, how I saw it when leasing on with Mercer. And that's an important thing that we feel we have gotten right over the years.
We don't run trucks. We help businesses succeed.
That's right.
You know, that's the difference. And it's so funny, Tyler, because I just read that about a week ago, and it was an article, and then there was a comment by a driver, and it was pretty much what you just laid out. And it's like, I don't feel like I'm a true owner-operator. I don't feel like I'm a business owner. I feel like I'm working for them. I'm basically, you know, an employee, or I'm somebody who is working for their business, not mine. And that's an important distinction, you know.
They pay way too much money to buy that piece of equipment and invest too much in that business to go somewhere and have somebody supposed to tell them how to run it. We offer freight, we offer support, and we let them truck the way they see fit.
It's real simple, mercertown.com. Check it out. And you guys want to throw out a phone number real quick?
800-433-0904. That'll get you into recruiting. And if you don't want to talk to us in recruiting, whoever you want to talk to, we'll get you in touch.
All right. Always easy and always great. I love these conversations. I feel like I could go on forever, but I'm going to let y'all get back to work and doing what you do there at Mercer. I always greatly appreciate it. Let's try and do this if we can. If you guys have the time later in the year, maybe do a recap of 22 and maybe a look forward into 23 and beyond. I always love those visits. Every time we sit down, folks, it's always great with our friends from Mercer. So thank you so much for your time.
I'd love to do that. Thank you so much, Eric.
Thank you.
So much. Appreciate it.
Thank you, guys, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. See you soon.
All right.